The reading this morning is taken from Exodus, chapter 35, verses 4 to 22, and can be found on page 90 of the Church Bibles. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver and bronze, blue and purple scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and other durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle with its tent and its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases, the ark with its poles and the atonement cover and the curtain that shields it, the table with its poles and all its articles, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand that is for light with its accessories, lamps and oil for the light, the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, the curtain for the doorway at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the bronze basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs for the tabernacle and for the courtyard, and their ropes, the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests." Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, and all its service, and the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewellery of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, we're here this morning because you draw us, because you offer us relationship with you and salvation. We're deeply grateful from the bottom of our hearts. We pray you'll speak to us this morning, individually and as a church family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder, have you ever tried to put on an event, perhaps a birthday party, something like that? What's required for that to happen? Resources and manpower. Or perhaps you've wanted to build an extension, and you've kind of visualized it, and you've maybe got a plan in your mind. But to see it come to realization takes resources and manpower. Cash, I guess. And someone to build it. And this morning, we are thinking about how it's the same, really, in God's work. God's got an idea. God's got a plan. There's something he wants to do, but it requires resources and manpower. We've been doing a series about the tabernacle. I've got my model up here. It's quite a small one, a small replica of the tabernacle, which was a sort of great big tent that the Israelites were commanded to build. And what God wanted from that tabernacle was he wanted a vibrant witness, a tangible testimony to who he is and to salvation. A tangible testimony and a vibrant witness to the reality of the living God. Something people could see and understand as things went on in that tabernacle, as they saw the furniture, they saw the priestly ministry, they could grasp about the living God. He wanted the world to have a tangible testimony and a vibrant witness to who he is. And he told the Israelites through Moses in great detail about that tangible testimony that he wanted to be created on earth. He told them all about it. But then there's another stage to that coming to fruition, that being realized. And that is, he asks the people to be involved in building it. He asks the people to be involved in building it. And you'll probably see the links to today as the day we're having our annual church meeting. But this is an important message for us to take in, that God asks his people to resource and to build the thing he wants to do. You see, it's a strange thought, isn't it, that God doesn't just click his fingers and magic it into being, this vibrant witness, this tangible testimony to who he is and to salvation. He doesn't click his fingers. He turns to the people and says, you need to do something. You need to do something. For this to become reality, you need to do something. And it's amazing, isn't it, that to think that actually God's people can thwart or accomplish what he wants to see done. So what did he want them to do? He says, verse 4 and 5, he says, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. And he tells them what he wants them to bring as an offering, the material stuff to bring about this tangible testimony. Gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, durable leather, acacia wood, lots of stuff, isn't it? Olive oil for the light, spices. But it's not just things. He wants their skills, he wants their abilities, he wants their service, if you like. Verse 10, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent and its coverings, and so on and so on and so on. And that's a long list of things that are to be made by people who've got the skills to make them. So that's what the Lord said. He said, I need you, my people, to bring this about and to make it happen. And it's not so different today. It's not so different today. It's the same, in fact. God wants a vibrant witness to who he is in the world. He wants a tangible testimony that people can kind of get hold of and go, yeah, look, I can see it. I can see that God's real. I can see who he is. It's mapped out for me. It's visible in front of me. There's no arguing, really. I can see it there. Not through a building or a tent or a temple, really, so much, but through the vibrant witness of his people, engaged in various tangible activities and behaviors, I guess, and ways of being that show people, actually, the Lord is, look, there's undeniable proof, the Lord is real. That's who God is. I see it in those people. And I see how salvation is possible in them. And God doesn't just have that idea, that desire. He tells us, doesn't he? He tells his people about that. Not through Moses, but there are preachers up and down the land, aren't there? This morning, all over the world, today. And they're telling us about God's plan, his plan for his people, and what they can be, what they can offer the world, that they can become this tangible testimony to the reality of God. They can be this vibrant witness to who he is. But that's not enough for it to become reality. It's not, in the end, enough for God to will it, for preachers to talk it. Actually, in the end, God turns to his people and says, for this to become a reality, my people need to give. They need to get behind this. They need to become involved. And I guess today, too, there needs to be that sense of bringing what we have, the resources to make it happen, and also the gifts, the talents, the skills, the time to make it happen. Now, there was every reason for the Israelites to say, or for people to say, it can't be done. This can't be done. Many people have asked whether it was even possible for the Israelites to build this tabernacle. Where was this rabble stuck out in the wilderness to get all these precious metals and these exotic items like ram skins dyed red and the hides of sea cows? Where were they to get those things? Aren't they refugees? But the Lord had actually provided those things. If you remember earlier on in the story of Exodus, the Lord told Moses when he first met him in the desert, he said, when I deliver you from Egypt, I'm going to make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards you all, so that when you ask them for things, they're going to give them to you. You're going to leave Egypt with an incredible booty of stuff, loads of stuff that they've given to you. And in chapter 12, verse 35, it says, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. So God had provided enough. He provided everything his people needed for what he wanted them to do. God's people are never short of the means to do the things he wants them to do. And the same is true today. God's people still have the resources required for the things that God wants them to do, because God's ensured they will have those things. Now, our treasurers might be sitting there going, I'm not sure about that. That doesn't sound right to me. Because they know that we're down on our income as a church on 2016, 17, 18. We had a shortfall in our parish share, our payment, if you like, to the diocese and the national church, which we're required to make. We're facing a deficit again for this coming year. But think about these Egyptians. They might have thought they didn't have it, but it was there. God had given it to them. And I'm confident that he has given it to us as well. That is, for whatever it is he wants us to do. Now, others might have said, God's told us to do this, but Moses, we just don't have the skills, we don't have the gifts, we don't have the ability. Look at us, we're just poor refugees, we're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, we've been trekking for months, if not years. All we can think about from day to day is survival. How are we going to cope? How are we going to live? Skilled work isn't our concern anymore. And even if we tried, we're probably rusty and out of practice. What good could we be? But was that the case? Were they lacking the skills? We didn't get down as far as verse 25. But as you look on in the chapter, if you've got it open on page 90, you'll see that it says, every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun. Bit of gender stereotyping there, perhaps. But as we read on, we discover that the men were embroiderers and jewelers. So don't think this is all kind of rigid kind of gender stereotypes in here. They were embroiderers and jewelers. It says that in verse 35. And the two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, I think, who are mentioned in verse 30 and chapter 36, verse 1, were able to teach and train others. So where skills were lacking, or in short supply, they set up a training program, an apprenticeship for the skills that were required to get the job done, to build that vibrant witness to the living God, that tangible testimony to the possibility of salvation and a relationship with God. So given a specific thing to make or build or accomplish, we find the people were able. And God's church always has the skills or the means to grow the skills to accomplish God's project. And that's true today. There are gifts and skills here this morning. Gifts and abilities God's given. And they need using. We need you to use them. Some of our ministries hang by a thread for want of volunteers just to make tea in the kitchen. Perhaps we are short of skills in some areas. But there will be one or two in our church, or three or four, who can teach and train others and pass on the necessary skills. And if not internally, if we don't simply don't have the skills among us, then we go out. We send people on conferences to learn the skills. Or we go to courses put on by other churches, like the Enable course that's happened recently, so that we can learn. It's costly, isn't it, when you use your gifts and skills for projects that build up a vibrant witness to God and a tangible testimony to salvation. It's costly. It's costly in a different way because you're using your time. And time spent on God's work is time away from other things. So I appreciate that serving in church is sacrificial. It's as sacrificial as giving money. So there was an invitation to be part of this. God invites the people to be part of this. Come and build this thing so that through it you can make known who I am. And you can show the world the possibility of a relationship with me, of salvation. But really, I want to say it was more than an invitation, wasn't it? It was a command. Did you see that in chapter 35, verse 4? The Lord has commanded. Now, an invitation is quite open. It's easy to dismiss an invitation. But a command is more serious because it implies obedience or disobedience. You can't easily decline a command. God expected his people to give what they had. But what might surprise us is that obedience goes hand in hand with willingness. Nowadays, we associate a command with a sort of tyranny, don't we? It commands something to be resented. It's being compelled against our will. But what if a command chimed in with our own deepest desires? What if our heart's desire deep down is to build a vibrant witness to the living God and is to become a tangible testimony to the possibility of a relationship with him, of salvation? Many people down the ages of history have had that desire themselves, and I believe many today share that desire. I believe many of you here have that desire. That's why you're here. That's why you've stuck with this church, because you want us to be and to become a living witness to the reality of God in this part of Ipswich. You want that. And God only wanted the willing to give and get involved. He didn't want people joining reluctantly or through compulsion. And there were loads of people who were willing, whose desire it was to get involved and to give. Let's just read verse 20 to 24 together. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen or goat hair, ram skins dyed red or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. They were willing. And you only get a sense of just how willing they were when you turn to chapter 36, verse 5. Now let's read from verse 4. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Can you imagine Tony and Mark saying, "Enough! We got too much cash. Too many people are offering to help with everything in this church. You've got to stop. Take some time off. Go home for a bit." Are we willing? It is crazy, isn't it, to think that in the end, whether there's a vibrant witness to God or not, is down to the people. It's down to the people. And they could have stopped the whole thing if they'd wanted, if they hadn't wanted to be a part of this. God can tell, he can give the vision through his servant, but willing people are required to make them happen. And either they're required, or they can say, nah, that's not for me. But what a dreadful shame that would be. What a blight on God's people if they were to prevent his project being built. But what a thrill it must be to see God's people coming forward in that way. A thrill for Moses, a thrill for God, and a thrill for the people as they saw each other coming forward and giving so generously to this work. Their time, their resources, bringing all those things. It must have been a sight, an inspiration to one another. And I think there must have been a moment of decision for everyone there, because those things perhaps had been at home on the shelf or in their rucksack or something, and, you know, it belonged to them. But there came a time when they said, do you know what, the best use for that would be to bring it, to give it to this project by which we can build this tangible testimony to the Lord and this vibrant witness in our time. So they changed the use of their possessions, the use of their time and skills, and gave them back, if you like, to God's project. So what about us? What about us this morning? Well, maybe some of us here are saying, I would be more inclined to give, right? And I would be more inclined to help out if we had a clear plan like Moses' clear plan. If I could see how a vibrant witness to the living God was going to be created here, if I could see how we were going to show his salvation, then I'd be a bit more willing. I would be more willing. And I know that we need to articulate how we're going to do this. We need to tell you more clearly what the plan is. And I believe the clearer the plan, the more eager people will be to get behind it. We've been wrestling, haven't we, in the last 3 or 4 years with, shall we work together? That's been the most basic question. But now that's resolved, we can seriously attend to what exactly are we working on together. And this year, I'm going to be sitting down more with the ministry leadership team and the PCCs to thrash out, what is our vision? What are we trying to do? What does this church want to be about and accomplish? How can we build a vibrant witness to the living God and to his salvation? But remember this, the Israelites started before there was anything to be seen. They brought their resources, they brought themselves and offered them before there was anything, a final end product, if you like, based on what they believed God had said. And that takes faith. That takes faith. And it requires what we call early adopters to get behind things and to get involved. But I really do hope that you all know by now, I hope you know that we're on our way. That I and others in the church really are serious about forming us into a church family that demonstrates the living God to our time and our place in this community, and that holds out salvation in a real way. I trust you feel you can support what's going on. And I know that many of you do already, so thank you. But I'm told there's a whole generation, just as we wrap up, there's a whole generation of younger Christians who haven't been taught about giving, who don't know that God's work relies on God's people giving time and money and serving. And if you haven't started, why not start today? Why not talk to Mark over there or Tony over there about how to set up a standing order so that we've got regular cash flow? They'll be able to tell you about gift aiding your contributions and how we can reclaim the taxable element of your gift to us if you're a taxpayer. But what if your giving has been a little bit casual or a little bit mean-spirited? Why not change that today? Admit it, first of all. Admit it to yourself. I've been holding back. I've been rather mean-spirited. But that's going to change because I really want to get behind making this church a vibrant witness and a tangible testimony to the living God. It's not just about our finances, is it? It's also about people giving of their time, expertise, abilities. Many of you do in very sacrificial ways. But some of you perhaps don't. And you know that, as you know that yourself. Whatever you do have to offer, if you can offer it, it would be helpful. Perhaps you could offer something. We still need your help. So why not offer your time, your skills this year? Turn your no into a yes this year. And if you need a bit of training, we can make sure you get that. But the real question as we just wind down and wrap up is, are we willing? That's the real question, isn't it? Are we willing? In the end, it's a question of, what's in here? What does my heart really beat for? What do I want to see happen most in life through the church in our day and age? We're going to have a time of prayer in just a moment, and Sue's going to lead us in our time of prayer. Let me just say a short one. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us take these things in. Thank you for this series on the tabernacle. Thank you for what your people did back then. Help us to reflect on the kind of people we want to be in this generation. Amen.